Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Yeah, David and I were, David Noble and I were joking in the 6 o'clock hour about Trump being called daddy by the consul general for NATO and played a hilarious montage to go with it. Then there was a hilarious question from a reporter to President Trump with his reaction to being called daddy. I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, David, this could be the Trump, another Trump W of the week. Daddy's home. President Donald J. Trump attends the NATO summit. He's now back, apparently, from the NATO summit. So everybody is posting on X. This is from Dan Scavino, who I think works for President Trump. Everybody is sharing this song now that Daddy's home, featuring a montage of President Trump, SecDef Hagstaff, Secretary of State Rubio. Daddy's home. I don't know if you know that song. I can't remember who the singer is, but
you know, this is my style of music, Aaron. I do R&B, but I don't know this one.
Yeah, I've heard the song before, but I can't remember who the artist is. So, yeah.
But no, I was saying, you know, this is all funny, and it's really interesting because Trump kind of is like the dad in the room at these NATO things, where everybody's obsessed with him, and everybody wants to know what he's going to say, and he's the one telling everybody, and he's the one that's proud of the little other NATO countries for doing their thing. But I said, you know, the fact, you know, some of this stuff where some of these Trump supporters actually call Trump daddy, that's a little weird. We don't need to be doing that.
Oh, man. Let's see. You know, I had an interesting message that came in on the Montana Talks app. This is a totally random story altogether. Well, first off, you know, when it comes to what's going on in New York City and CNN now apparently... Apparently, CNN earlier this morning was exposing or like reporting on America's underground facilities like Cheyenne Mountain down in Colorado Springs, part of NORAD, of course, to protect from, you know, foreign missile attacks, et cetera. And so Sergeant Hammer Doc Hammer out of Great Falls called in and told us about that. But Andy in Whitefish says, what did he say? He says, wake up, we are occupied. It sure feels that way, doesn't it, from this illegal immigrant invasion? But even look at some of the legal immigration as well. And this New York City mayoral candidate, it sure feels like we have been occupied in America by anti-American forces.
Well, Aaron, that was actually going to be my woke update of the week, was the fact that in New York City today, almost 40% of all residents in New York City were born in a country other than the United States. 40% foreign-born population in New York City. And they just nominated this Muslim socialist as their mayoral candidate. But you know what's so interesting about that is it kind of goes back to something that I've been talking about for a long time, and something that I asked all 9 of the Eastern District congressional candidates for the Republican side, and I asked them about legal immigration and in light of the percentage of foreign-born population here, and there's some interesting facts about that.
Yeah, all right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about that here in just a second. Plus, we got phone lines open for you.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies today and a few isolated afternoon storms possible, high temperatures will range from 83 in Bozeman to about 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back into the lower 50s in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Friday, sunshine, a few isolated storms possible as highs climb through the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Frombly.
This is House Call for Health. As many Americans cool off from the recent heat wave and look ahead to a sweltering summer, Experts are warning about the dangers of taking a cold shower during a heat wave to cool off. A recent article published by anatomy professor Adam Taylor of Lancaster University in the UK suggests taking a cold shower right after being in the heat may cause your blood vessels near your skin to tighten, which may cause your body to actually hold heat in. The article posted by The Conversation says if the water is at near freezing temperatures, you may experience a cold shock response, which could lead to an irregular heartbeat, making it especially dangerous, even fatal, to those with underlying heart conditions. Experts say it's okay to take mildly cold showers to cool down, but they recommend drinking lots of water, avoiding caffeine, alcohol, and dark-colored clothing. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so a random start here as we jump back into it with David Noble. We've got the phone lines open for you, plus you can message us on the Montana Talks app. So this is interesting. Maybe our listeners can shed more light on this one, but this story goes back a while back. But since we've been talking about, you know, satellite imagery, Cheyenne Mountain, and what CNN is apparently yapping about this morning, and then, of course, the satellite imagery showing the successful strikes on the nuclear facilities in Iran. But anyway, right on John's said this. What happened to the satellite imagery that showed possible deep underground cities under the pyramids in Egypt? I think I remember seeing something. I don't remember seeing reading about satellite imagery under the pyramids in Egypt, but there was like sonar technology that basically led some researchers to believe that there is something pretty interesting way down deep beneath the pyramids of Egypt. And that's fascinating, if you ask me. It'd be interesting to see if anybody could get down there and actually do some exploring.
Yeah, my first response was, you know, well, ancient Rome had better technology than humans did up until like the 1500s. So for 1,000 years there, human beings were not as developed or living as high a quality life as they had in ancient Rome. But then check this out, Aaron. I am reading a book right now called The History of the Ancient World by Susan Bauer. And this is so fascinating, okay? She's going through like the first that throughout history. The first person that rose to government power on the campaign of ending government corruption was in about 2300 BC in ancient Sumer. So for 4,300 years, human beings have had government corruption, and we've had to have government reformers. And so like back then, like literally 2300 BC in ancient Sumer, they had government officials that were taking bribes. They had regulations on the people that made no sense. And in written history, that is the first time somebody came to power trying to end government corruption. And so it's just fascinating to me to think about. For almost 4,500 years, human beings have been trying to end government corruption and waste, fraud, and abuse. And here we are in 2025. Isn't that wild?
It is the forever war.
That's the forever war,
It's the infinity war, if that's what you want to call it, battling government corruption. Well, absolute power corrupts, right? Or right. What's the famous quote there?
See, Aaron, I actually read books, and so I know things like that, and then I will post about it on X, and all these Democrats will respond and say that's a lie or disagree with it, and I'm like, just like, do you Democrats ever read books? I don't think they do.
So what? Well, they got to go to the children's section for all the transgender, how to change your sex books. So they love those books. They don't, you know, history and, you know, classics like To Kill a Mockingbird. They don't want those in the school bookshelves. They want all the, hey kids, here's what to do for your sex life, and here's how to change your gender type of nonsense. You know what triggered the leftists on Montana politics yesterday? I sent out a tweet. Let me pull it up here. Speaking of Iran here for a second, I sent out a tweet. I was making the point that you know, Iran started this war against the United States 46 years ago. That's longer than Senator Tim Sheehy and I both have been alive. And I think you're younger than me, David. So longer than you, me, and Senator Sheehy have been alive, Iran has basically been waging this war. You could call it a Cold War, but it's been hot because they've killed American troops for longer than we have all been alive. And then I added this, but now, thanks to young veterans like Senator Sheehy standing with President Trump, they're working to end this war. And that triggered, apparently, some of the leftists and I think some of our libertarian friends as well, too, who apparently they want to deny the fact that Iran has been waging war against American troops and interests for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are the same people that say the U.S. should not get involved in the Middle East, as if we have no involvement whatsoever and never have in the Middle East. It's like, what planet are you guys living on that you think the U.S. is? And you're absolutely right. It's like that was similar to my tweet. I actually tweeted out, you know, preventing World War III is anti-war and pro-peace. Similarly, like ending Iran's forever war against America, that's pro-peace, that's anti-war. This idea of, hey, let's just let Iran get nukes and you know, withdraw our troops, and that'll result in peace, is the most naive thing I've ever heard in my life. It's the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah, to me, like, if you allow terrorist regimes like Iran to get access to nukes, what kind of liberty do you think you will have? But do you want to call yourself a libertarian? And some of these so-called libertarians are open borders. They supported the open borders invasion of this country. How's that working out for the whole liberty thing?
Right.
By the way, let's go back to this whole topic of all of us are very clearly against illegal immigration. We also support legal immigration. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got so many incredible legal immigrants all across Montana that have fled these communist countries. And they will tell you there is nowhere else to flee to. That's why we've got to fight for freedom in America. But let's be honest, the Washington D.C. establishment has fundamentally changed legal immigration. And look at Europe and the radical Islamists taking over Europe. Hell, look at New York City right now and the radical Islamists about to take over New York City potentially. This exposes problems with the legal immigration in this country, too.
No question, Aaron. And I've been on this topic for a very, very long time because you're right. It's so easy to oppose illegal immigration. It's so easy for these Republican candidates to be against illegal immigration. But historically in the United States, we've had 5% of our population foreign-born. Right now, we're at 15% foreign-born. What that does, when you get percentages that high, that prevents assimilation, it creates enclaves. It creates division and problems in society. So, yeah, we support legal immigration at reasonable levels with assimilation, but not when you've got 20%, 30%, 40% of people here being foreigners.
John Jackson shared a tweet with the Statue of Liberty covered in a burqa. Don't know if you saw that one.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on three decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk-takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump is intensifying his attacks on the media, calling CNN and MSNBC scum and blaming them for questioning the intelligence about the bombing of the Iranian nuclear sites. when NBC's Kelly O'Donnell asked the question. He said, you and NBC fake news, one of the worst, and CNN, New York Times, they're all bad. They're sick. There's something wrong with them. You should be praising those people, meaning the B-2 bomber pilots, instead of trying to find sound to go try and get me. You're hurting those people. Now, CNN anchor Pamela Brown pushed back, saying this was absolutely false, and that since the reporting of a U.S. intelligence report saying probably the Iranian nuclear program was only set back by a few months, there's a lot of dispute about that, doesn't mean that they're questioning the bravery of these military pilots. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
In a strongly worded complaint to the Food and Drug Administration, America's butter marketers asked the agency to take action against Country Crock's dairy-free salted butter. The marketers asserted that the product's label violates federal regulations. The plant-based spreads front label in bold letters describes itself as a form of butter, although federal standards of identity define butter as a product made from milk. In reality, and as admitted in much smaller font to the package labeling, the Country Crock products describe themselves as 79% plant-based oil spreads. Chris Galen, executive director of the American Butter Institute, says, quote, Country Crock is attempting to leverage the premium perception of real dairy butter maintained by consumers. The manufacturer is clearly trying to confuse the consumers about what the product is, an ultra-processed seed oil concoction, saying the product may indeed be a crock from the country, but it's not butter. USDA has mailed the July cattle survey to about 18,000 cattle producers nationwide to provide an up-to-date measure of U.S. cattle inventories. This is the first July cattle survey mailed to producers since the reinstatement of key reports was announced earlier this year. If you receive this, you can participate online via the phone, mail, or a personal interview. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's start this next segment with one of your phone calls, 406-294-0970. We got Mark in Livingston first up, listening to KPRK. Mark, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Legal immigration. I'd like to see the administration promote some changes to the immigration process to make it streamline and a little easier. I'm a legal immigrant, and it took me about 4 years to become an American. I was adopted by a military family and had to be registered as an alien for approximately 4 years for that process to occur. And then you could also have the administration verbalize a little bit more that the First Lady is a legal immigrant, too. We're not against immigrants.
Yeah.
You have to go through due process. And so if you get expelled as an illegal immigrant, you can't be justifying or wanting to have legal process because you didn't enter with legal process. And it needs to be promoted a little bit more clear to the general public, I think.
No, I think you're right. And I think eventually that will be coming, too. Except for right now, all the focus has to – Mark, thanks for the call, and great points all around. Right now, the focus has to be on getting the 10 to 20 million illegal aliens that criminally came into this country, out of this country. But then, yeah, I think at some point we also have – we have to have an immigration reform debate about legal immigration, because David, as our caller pointed out, there's legal immigrants that come here and do everything the right way, and we need to streamline that process for them. But we also need to remember that culture matters when it comes to the immigration debate, and what the Democrats have done is they've basically, they're trying to do to the United States of America what the radical left did to Europe, which is basically totally change the culture in allowing radical Islamists to take over London and some of these other key Western cities.
Yeah, I agree. Like, great call from Mark. And my first thought of Mark's call is, yeah, we do have a broken legal immigration system, because you know why? Because the federal government is incompetent and horrible at everything they do. They can't do anything right. I mean, the military is the one thing that they get right most of the time. But you look at the VA, look at our entitlement programs, look at our federal spending, look at anything the federal government does. They do it badly. So with our immigration system, we have a broken legal immigration system where we can't get the people that we actually want into the country, and it's a nightmare. And so we're not getting the people we want, and we are getting the people we don't want. It's just classic federal government.
And that happened through the abuse of the refugee programs and the asylee programs,
which I just
Muslim migration into the United States, essentially. We were talking about the New York mayor race and the primary there, and this radical Islamist Zohran Mamdani. The guy is a complete nut job, a radical left wing nut job. We could go down the list of the crazy stuff this guy believes, but I think you were the one that told me the number. Maybe I think Laura Ingraham might have mentioned it last night as well. Stephen Miller tweeted yesterday. He said Democrats change elections by changing voters. That's why they want to bring in illegals and other types of groups in particular, is because they want to change the Democrat Party. It's not just about changing America. It's about changing the Democrat Party. That's why you get such a radical candidate like the guy in New York City. What did you say? 36% of the New York population is now foreign-born?
I've seen 36%. ChatGPT just told me 38% foreigners in New York City. So you ask, how could New York City elect a Muslim socialist as their mayoral candidate? The answer is because 40% of the voters are foreigners, and the other 60% are a bunch of woke, white, uppity liberals.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I saw, speaking of Laura Ingraham, let's see, she had Ron DeSantis on last night talking about the New York City elections. Let's see.
Well, we actually saw this in recent years with Chicago. So they had a mayor, Lightfoot, who everyone was complaining about. People were fleeing Chicago, going places like Naples. And then they elected the guy they have now, who's even worse. And so you've seen even a bigger reaction. And I kind of feel like New York's doing that. De Blasio caused a lot of people to flee that city. And I saw it firsthand with the amount of wealth that moved into Florida and the businesses. And so now they're in a situation where this guy that they just nominated, he will be worse than De Blasio. He wants to eliminate the NYPD. I'll tell you what, when NYPD officers move to Florida and they work for law enforcement, we give them a $5,000 signing bonus.
All right, David, and then DeSantis goes on to say, Florida does not need more people. We don't want more people, but there is going to be a mass exodus.
Yeah, although I saw, hey, no, these people that are going to, they can't afford Florida. They're going to North Carolina and South Carolina, which I'm sure John Jackson loves to hear that.
Yeah. His home country there, yeah. Better get some private security guards on Mama's pecan pie there, John. All right, back in 60 seconds. A little sounder on our studio board here, David. Democrats in Congress say, followed by wah, wah, wah. I mean, my goodness, they just look so pathetic right now. So pathetic. AOC tried to, do the impeachment thing, and that didn't go anywhere. I mean, they do not know what to do in the face of all of President Trump's success right now.
Well, that's what's just so weird, too, about these isolationists. They won't just accept the win, right? They won't agree that that Trump made the right decision, that dropping the bunker busters was correct, that they were... You know that Tucker Carlson had said that if we drop bunker busters on Iran, then we're going to surely end up losing thousands and thousands of American soldiers, that World War III is going to start. And he said the U.S. would lose the subsequent war if we drop bombs on Iran. So these people have just been proven false time and time and time again.
So, well, and what's interesting is, because I love Tucker Carlson on most things, but I think, Tucker Carlson, he came out and said, look, I got the war in Iraq wrong. And of course, Trump criticized the war in Iraq. I mean, early on, that's why the Cheney family has despised him so much, because he criticized daddy's war, right? Daddy's home. Well, he criticized daddy's war. So that's why Liz Cheney got so crazy. So I think it's almost like now some people on the right, now feel like they have to overcompensate and be against any action whatsoever out of fear that it could lead to, you know, a boots on the ground regime change operation. And now we're going to waste 20 more years democracy building, right?
Here's what's really going on, I think, Aaron. Okay. Number one, I think the reason that your Tucker Carlson's and people like that are taking these hardcore isolationist positions is because there's a lot of people out there that agree with that. And here's why they think of it, right? I think that these people, because most of these people don't have a clue about, you know, war and peace or international relations, but they're so confident in their isolationist foreign policy positions. Here's what's going on, Aaron. These people are blaming their own personal failures in life on American military policy. And so these people are losers, and they've failed at their own life. And they've blamed American military interventionism for their own personal failures. That's why they're so emotional about it. And so here's how they justify it to themselves. And by the way, this same thing applies to the Antifa and the BLM people. But what they do is they say, hey, my life sucks. I'm a loser. That must be because America has fought all these foreign wars instead of spending money on me. And same with the Antifa people, right? It's like, my life sucks. I'm a loser. It must be because capitalism. And so that's why they're so nuts about it, is because they're using it to compensate for their own. That's just my theory.
That's funny, because Antifa Randy is this Facebook troll out of Great Falls. And, you know, he was silent since the November elections. And then he just popped up out of nowhere. And all he does is just troll and whine and complain. And anyway, he was doing this same virtue signaling. And that guy never served. But yet he wants to attack me over the Middle East stuff. And I'm like, man, I don't think I had the pleasure of seeing you in the Middle East, Antifa.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I was hoping David Noble would kick the hornet's nest a little bit, stir things up. So, David, you last week in particular on X, you were just having fun picking fights with all sorts of people, kind of like your rant that we just had before the last break there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't hold back, Aaron. You know, I put it all on the line.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's see what Goose and Anaconda has to say. He wants to weigh in on the Tucker Carlson comment and conversation from just before the break. Goose, great to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, hi, Aaron. So anyway, I don't even know where to begin. It's so deep. Let's just start in 1947 when the CIA was produced and made, and then a year later, Mossad and Israel was made. Since then, we've gone into 60 different countries and tried regime change and democracy and doing whatever we're doing, and not one country is better for it. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with the Muslim way, their religion, their stance on a lot of things. I agree with nothing of them. However, we have messed up a lot of countries, and then our CIA and Mossad, it's proven fact that we have help fund and create terrorist organizations such as Al-Qaeda, Hamas. We create all this badness so we can go in and say, hey, we need to go destroy these people. So then we destroy these countries, rebuild them, introduce central banking. There's only three countries left that does not have the Rothschild central banking. That is Iran, Russia, and South Korea as far as the main countries. So it's just a lot deeper than people think. And we've spent $31 trillion.
So don't take out the nuclear facilities. Allow Iran, the terrorists in Tehran, to get their hands on a nuke then. Is that what you're arguing? Sorry, no matter what people...
No, I'm not. I said nothing about that.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. So what's the no, so it, what it, then?
Well, there's a lot of questions about that. Now, if we've been hearing Netanyahu, who, by the way, is a Polak, who was born in New York City, and that's not even his real name, Netanyahu. So there's another thing that's just...
Well, he's a remarkable world leader. He's a Winston Churchill of our time, if you ask me.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. Why are you so anti-Israel, by the way?
Because I understand that the Rothschilds created that with their central banking. Again, Netanyahu is not even a Jew. He's a Polack that was born in New York City.
Okay, that's where you start to lose people, claiming that Netanyahu's not even Jewish. I think our rabbi friends could give a good a good disagreement on that front. But what I was really trying to get to is, okay, no matter what you think about the history, the prior to the fall of the Shah, the terrorists in Tehran were about to get their hands on a nuke. And American interventionism, no matter what you think about American interventionism in the 1900s, okay, this is where we are today. The Iranians have been attacking us for 46 years, longer than David Noble, myself, and Senator Tim Sheehy have been alive. What do you do about it? And we think Donald Trump did the right thing.
Yeah, here's my take on that call is I think it is very naive to think that we could just 180 American foreign policy and that we would still be as safe and secure as we are. You know, I think we're in a situation here where in America, Aaron, we have very high levels of safety and security. We have very high levels of national security. And so for
knock on wood.
Yeah. But to sit here in 2020, and here's the other thing, right? Part of being a conservative is recognizing that you don't make radical changes. You don't 180 our foreign policies. You don't 180 our military policy without really thinking hard about this. And I respect, I very much respect my ancestors in this country who led American military and foreign policy through the 1900s. Because guess what? Here in 2025, I have quite a bit of safety and security, and I have a pretty darn good life. And so for these people to say, hey, we could completely change American foreign policy. We could completely change American military policy, and yet we would still continue to have the same level of safety and security that we have enjoyed our entire lives because of the U.S. military. That is naive, and you have a very, very high burden of proof. If you want to try to convince me to completely reverse everything America has ever stood for on the foreign policy stage, you have a very high burden. And saying, oh, the Rothschilds Bank does not meet that burden.
Well,
sorry.
And let's talk about what really went wrong with Iran. The weakness of Jimmy Carter and these Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden style presidents. That's what happened. And what happened after the fall of the Shah? And you can talk about, well, the CIA in the 1950s, Lottie freaking da, the weakness of Jimmy Carter in the 1970s and how that led to the fall of the Shah in Tehran. And then what happened? Then every other Arab country and every other Muslim country in that neck of the woods started saying, wow, if we don't appease these radical Islamists, they're going to overthrow us. So we better pander and appease these radical Islamists. And the whole freaking region went crazy. And then now look at what's happening. Now, in the last several years, with the strength of Donald Trump and with Donald Trump creating alliances and creating friendships and building these historic peace agreements between Israel and all these Arab countries, what these Arab countries and these Muslim-led countries started to realize is like, okay, we used to think that if we didn't appease the radical Islamists that they would overthrow us, but now if we don't root out and stop these radical Islamists, they will overthrow us. And that's the basis of now how Trump and Israel have created this incredible historic partnership that was on full display over a month ago, which then allowed this successful operation to take place last weekend and wipe out these Iranian nuclear facilities because of the very relationship that Donald J. Trump has expanded upon from his first term as president of the United States. And imagine where we would have been if he had been allowed to fulfill that second term from before. But sometimes bad things happen for a reason, and I think America's bouncing back even stronger. And, David, as we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour, the Western world is going to bounce back even stronger as a result of all this BS we've had to put up with these last 4 years in particular. Sorry, there's my rant.
Hey, you get going. That's a 6 a.m. hour rant. Right. Usually that's a 6 a.m. hour deal.
Usually relax by 7.
Yeah. No, but it's like we don't know what the end of history is, right? History's not over. So everybody wants to say, oh, U.S. military policy and U.S. foreign policy has been a failure. Well, guess what? No, we don't know how this ends. We don't know how this historically. What we do know is that Iran is a lot weaker today. We do know that Saddam Hussein is gone. We do know. Here's the other thing we know, Aaron. There was never another 9/11 after 9/11. And so you want to sit here and tell me that American military policy post 9/11 was a failure when one of the primary goals of that was preventing another 9/11, and here we are in 2025 and we've never had another 9/11? Don't tell me that was a failure.
Hey, let's go next here. I think the kicking up a hornet's nest kicked up. It looks like a great phone call coming in from Perry in Columbus. Perry, good to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, David. You know, I love it when you guys get all fired up and kicking that hornet's nest around because it needs to be done. You know, you guys have just finished talking about a lot of the things that I would talk about, so I'm just going to say a few things about immigration. You know, what we need, the thing that we've always done in our foreign policy is we need to walk away from nation building and reconstruction and trying to impose democracy on Islam, because Islam is a culture that doesn't recognize or want any kind of self-determination. You know, the word itself means submission, not peace. And we have to require our immigrants to become one of us when they come here. All of that caca, they've got to leave behind if they want to be one of us. And that should be the requirement and something that is not negotiable. You look at little Mogadishu in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That should never have been allowed to happen. And with this, that's part of it. And then just not to, we go in and we kick some rear end when it needs to be done, when people threaten us, like Iran. That sect of Islam is just venomous. They're like the Wahhabis.
Yeah, they're like a suicide bombers on the world stage is what they are.
That's kind of Islam, is conquest and suicide. And we just need to put a throttle, a governor on our immigration, make it, you can come here legally, but by God, you're going to be one of us.
And that's what mostly the legal immigrants have sought for. They said, when I came here, I wanted to be an American. And then you got Mom Donnie, who wants to come here to change America, this New York City mayoral candidate.
Yeah, no, here's a great call by Perry the poet in Columbus. Fantastic call. But that's kind of what my main point here throughout this entire thing is about the percentages of people in America who are foreign born. Again, historically, we've had about 5%. Of course, there's some instances in the 1800s when it was higher than that, but you know, sort of setting that aside, we are now at almost 15% nationwide, almost 40% in New York City of foreign-born populations. And what you have when you have that happen is you have a lack of assimilation, you end up with enclaves, and you end up with sort of disunity and problems in society. Here's the thing, Aaron. I was watching an interview some L.A. TV station was doing of an illegal immigrant. He'd been here 20 years, he didn't speak a lick of English after 20 years of living in the United States. And that's exactly the problem when you have that high amount of immigration, is you don't get assimilation, and that's not good for society.
We got to run through just how radical this Mamdani mayoral candidate truly is. That's our woke update of the week. That's coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
In a giant victory for the president and national sovereignty, the Supreme Court once again sides with the White House on this. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at FoxBusinessPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Joe Biden. Biden allowed an invasion into the U.S. from all corners of the globe. And because of that, we have thousands, if not millions, of violent illegal aliens that cannot be deported back to their home countries because their home countries don't want them either. Given that, the Trump administration sought to deport these people to third countries willing to take them. But an activist judge tried to prevent this. Well, too bad the Supreme Court has now cleared the way for the program to resume. The 6-3 decision allows the administration to remove these aliens to other countries without allowing them to protest their new destination. That might sound cruel to some, but let's not forget that it was the lawless open border that got us here. So guess what? It's time to clean house. The United States under President Trump is a dumping ground no longer. MAGA. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies today and a few isolated afternoon storms possible, high temperatures will range from 83 in Bozeman to about 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back into the lower 50s in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Friday, sunshine, a few isolated storms possible as highs climb through the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Montana State Auditor James Brown served as host for insurance commissioners from all across the country in meetings that kicked off earlier this week in Big Sky. We got a chance to join him and the president of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. What's behind the high price of all insurance? What about homeowners insurance when it comes to wildfires? And what about international pressure out of Europe to try to push woke policy.com/row.
While you're there, check out my latest dirty job. It's a good one.
Licensed in all states where work is performed. See website for details.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick here so we can get to a phone call from Tim in Billings as well here. So, David, I shared this Daily Wire piece yesterday. Mamdani, this Democrat candidate for mayor in New York City, pledged to freeze rent, establish city-run grocery stores, and devote $65 million to transgender procedures for both kids and adults. Free child care, free city bus, free. So some people might be thinking, wait a minute, this guy is a Muslim. He's also a radical Muslim who said he would arrest Bibi Netanyahu if Netanyahu came to New York City. He wants to defund the police. Why, how could a radical Muslim like Mamdani also support the LGBTQ thing, also support the radical abortion agenda? The word that sums it up is intersectionality. And we had a great Big Sky Worldview Forum speaker who talked about this one time. Is because the radical Muslims, much like the radical cultural Marxists from the LGBTQ movement, they want to transform this country into something else. So they have to divide us along every single line they can, economic lines, social lines, gender, sex, all that stuff. That's what this guy symbolizes, is the intersectionality of the Democrat Party and the modern day left.
Yeah, anybody that has any characteristic that's not a straight white male, they say, oh, we're all the same because we have some characteristic that's not a straight white male. It's ridiculous, and you wonder sort of how could somebody that claims to be a Muslim send out tweets like this where he says there's no queer liberation under occupation, not for the queer Palestinians murdered by the IDF because they're Palestinian, or even queer Israelis living under a right wing government, queer movements and movements for racial justice. No one's free until we're all free. That's a tweet that I'm just, that's another woke update. That's Zohran's tweet. It's like, how many, Zohran, you know, you're worried about the queer Palestinians? How are they doing these days under Hamas?
Who was it? Was it Adam Sandler or Ben Stiller that was in that movie, Don't Mess with the Zohan? Except for this one is the Zohran. What a freaking clown that guy is. But he's a dangerous one, though.
Absolutely.
So the other debate that I guess we lost Tim in Billings. I was hoping to sneak in a phone call from Tim in Billings, but he might have had to run. He's a busy guy. The other debate is like, okay, so do Republicans back Curtis Sliwa, who's an incredible freedom fighter in New York City? Or do they try to unite around Eric Adams, who is at least trying to fix the city and save them from this illegal invasion? Because Or like John Jackson would say, like, look, New York City is already lost. Let it basically burn so that it can rise up from the ashes someday, maybe down the road. I think we can't allow New York City to fall.
Well, I agree. I mean, these are great American cities that were once great, right? Like, they should be great. But no, I love John Jackson's take when, you know, like a video might come out where there's like, you know, some liberal in LA gets stopped in traffic from like environmental protesters or something. And John Jackson's like, I love to see it more, because that's what they voted for. These people in these big cities vote for this stuff. And then these rioters and looters and stuff shut down their cities. And you've got these environmental wackos that will sit down in the middle of the street. And then these Democrats driving around are getting mad about it. And it's like, you guys voted for this.
Oh, hey, I'm late getting to the messages on the Montana Talks app. But, David, I was playing that Daddy's Home song. Remember from earlier?
Oh, yeah.
That's Usher.
Okay.
Cat in Eastern Montana. So Trump being called Daddy's Home. I should have known it was Usher, or some might say Ursher. That's another alternate pronunciation.
I forgot that you were so deep in the rap scene.
My fellow nerdy white folks out there. It could also go by the name of Ursher, that's for sure. Let's see. Cameron and Billings, why are you so pro-Israel?
Here's why I'm pro-Israel, Aaron, is because I care about American national security. Period. And when we have allies that increase American national security, that's a good thing.
I will bless those who bless her. I will curse those who curse her. Now, there's debate on what that might mean now. But either way, something to think about. David, always good to see you. Thanks so much for joining. I wish you could stick around for the next couple hours.
Check me out online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN.
On X and Twitch.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on 3 decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.